wanted to welcome everybody to Econ Weekly this week. We've got a great topic. We're going to be talking about working with influencers, and I invited Paul Barron. He's probably more building up an influencer network. But before we get started, I just wanted to mention that my name's Norm Ferrar. I have a podcast called Lunch with Norm, the Amazon FBA and e-commerce podcast. It runs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We have, like I mentioned, a great topic. We're going to be talking about influencers. I think influencers is the buzzword right now. The session is going to be recorded. If you have any questions, just raise your hand and we'll welcome you up on stage. If you don't want to be recorded, don't raise your hand. So we also want to just provide content. We're not into pitches. We're not into selling courses. We're into providing free content to help you run your business. So if you do come up on stage, we ask you that you don't pitch anything. If you do, I see Rachel's here and she's really quick on the mute button. All right. Now, the last thing I really do want to invite you to come up on stage. This community grows because of the engagement. So don't be shy. There's no bad questions. And Paul is always willing to dive deep into whatever question that you have. So on that note, let's get started. Mr. Barron, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. I feel like I'm still catching up on all my the lack of sleep from the Billion Dollar Seller Summit we were both at. I don't know about you, but I mean, you're a responsible person. You've got gray in your hair. Generally, like, you're substantially more. I was up talking with Erez and Mark until like 5 a.m. on Sunday, so technically Monday. But it was, man, those in-person events, like networking with people and talk about influence. Like, one of the ways that you build influence is just consistency and, you know, being in front of people. And it's just like, you can't beat that type of, you feel like it's a good thing to do and just keep it going. So anyway, I'm great. Did I tell you about the distributor that contacted us after coming back from BDSS?
No.
So we had at 8:30 PM on Monday, got an email from a distributor who actually lives in Denver. I'm in Colorado, for those of you guys listening. And he had basically broke open the swim diaper market in Mexico about a decade ago. And so you can check out my bio. We have a brand called Bowen Bell Littles, and we've done a decent job of building up brand equity, you know, powered by influencers for the past, you know, 6 years. And he actually contacted us because he is dropping the brand that he carried. And this brand kind of established the market in the 1980s. And he's dropping them because they want to go after low-end retail. And he feels that that's going to dilute their brand equity and kind of ruin some goodwill the goodwill that he built with the high-end retailers. So got an email from him at 8 p.m. on Monday. And during our weekly stand-up meeting with our CMO on Tuesday, he actually called. And so the ball is in motion to start distribution, like large scale, to like the biggest retailers, high-end retailers in Mexico, all because of brand equity and stuff. It's awesome. I'm stoked.
That's fantastic, Paul. And that's another reason. This is a whole other podcast or another room that we can create, is about the power of networking. It's incredible. Like, even going there, I've met people that I've wanted to meet for 3 years, and this one fella, and got to know him, got to sit down, break bread, and really got to the next level, you know, something that we couldn't do just over a Zoom call. But anyways, on this call, we're talking about influencers. And I thought it was a great topic. I was talking to a guy on the podcast called Joe Martin. If you haven't heard of him, he started the company BoxyCharm. And he built up this company. He just sold it for $500 million. I mean, congrats to him. He did it with branding and he did it with influencer marketing. So I thought this was timely. You know, we've got a lot of brand new people that are getting into the e-com market. You know, they don't know the power of influencers. So let's start right from the beginning. Like, what is influencer marketing?
I mean, it's really just the act of leveraging the audience that an influencer has built and partnering with them. I mean, think of it as just traditional networking, really. It's traditional network done in a digital sphere. Influencers typically, when you say influencer now, most people think of a social media influencer, you know, like, you know, the Kardashians, that sort of stuff, where you have hundreds of millions of followers, sometimes millions and plus. But really, an influencer is anybody who has the ear of their audience. So they've built an audience. And actually, anybody really could be an influencer. I mean, if you think of yourself, you hold sway. You have influence with the friends and family that you have in your sphere of influence, right? So influencer marketing is just, you know, being intentional, that's not a word, intentional about creating these partnerships, you know, with influencers. Sometimes that's a short-term partnership. Sometimes my preference is long-term, ongoing, mutually beneficial partnerships that, you know, the influencer can grow with the brand and the brand grows with the influencer. So it's really just about, you know, kind of word of mouth on digital is kind of the way that I think about it.
Okay. So there's all sorts of different influencers out there. And I didn't really know that there were different types of influencers. I thought there was a small influencer and a celebrity influencer. Can you talk just very quickly about the different types and who should be using those types of influencers?
Yeah, so there's, you know, the influencer scale starts at nano. So nano, if you guys are familiar with, I think it's either Greek or Latin, my brain isn't fully on yet, but nano is, you know, it's, you have nano, then you have micro, then you have, is it Greek, Rachel? I'm not sure. Anyway, sorry about that. So it starts off with nano, and they live, and when we're talking about influencers, I'm speaking specifically about social media influencers, and they live anywhere where your audience lives. So if you have an audience that is, you know, really highly, say you sell tech gadgets or something, YouTube is a great place for that because there's a lot of tech influencers on YouTube that you could reach out to and, you know, partner with. So it starts nano and goes all the way up to celebrity, right? So I don't have the scale in front of me. You know, I talk about this all the time. You'd think I'd have it memorized, Norm. But where we really live and where we play primarily, where we do a lot of our outreach is in the nano market. We do have some celebrity influencers, and we've partnered with, you know, mega and mid-tier influencers too. And generally speaking, if you're doing like an outbound thing, right? So you're going out and you're trying to find people that are celebrities or, you know, mega influencers. Most of the time that's going to require cash out up front because, you know, these people have spent a lot of time building audiences, providing valuable content to the people that listen to them, because the people that listen to them on social, you know, one of the reasons why they built an audience is because it's resonating with their demographic, their audience. So in order to gain access to that audience, you're generally going to have to pay something up front. And sometimes you can do like a upfront payment, some sort of split commission sort of stuff. But where I really believe that anybody, you know, anybody that is establishing a brand, that the brand has something unique about it, that it's not just another silicone spatula that's a little bit cheaper than the competition. No, a brand is a story that has some sort of gravitas to it that can rally people behind it. And it's, you know, nowadays it's not just about selling a cool product. It's about, you know, there's a lot of give back and stuff. So anyway, so coming back to the nano influencer market, most of the times, I mean, that is the most attainable market for anybody, again, that's building a brand that can reach out and connect with influencers. And where we've had the most success with our influencer build outs is with our customer base, people that have purchased from us in the past. They've loved our products. They resonate with our story. They resonate with our mission. And when they're presented with the opportunity to promote us and help, you know, work together to promote us and then also get rewarded along the way, you know, they jump at the chance. And so we've built a really thriving community of nano influencers in the baby space. And again, that's where we start. I mean, I could give you step by step like what you could do with celebrities and all that stuff, but the most attainable is the nano market for most people.
Yeah, very good. And that's what I found too, because if you reach out to the nano influencers, they're friends and family. You know, you've got this higher engagement range. So I think that's a great way to start for most people. And one of the other things I want to talk about is reaching out to different social platforms. Each one of them are different. Each one of them have, I guess you could say, a different culture. That's probably the best way of saying it, like TikTok. Have you used TikTok?
Do I waste time on TikTok, or have I used it to market my business? Because those are two different things.
But have you used it for your business?
Yes. Yeah, we have. And we've used this also. So I also run an agency where we do this for people. And so in our agency, we've had a ton of success with TikTok because being that it's such a new platform, and the way that the algorithm works is that it just takes a couple videos to make you go viral. And, one most recent one is we have a customer who sells really like awesome chef knives. And we were able to get an influencer for them that I can't remember how many, it's over 500,000 followers on TikTok. And she's doing it because she likes the company, the brand, she loves the knife, and the knives that we're working with her on. And so she's driving sales. Like, TikTok is great for driving sales. You can also get great UGC or user generated content, like videos, obviously. And obviously then you have Instagram. Instagram is great for UGC in the form of like still photos. I mean, now they have reels and all that sort of stuff where, Facebook always sees something and then they like try to copy right away. So, but yeah, I mean, there's influencers everywhere. And really what you would need to know is just, where do your customers hang out? Are your customers on TikTok, or are they primarily on Instagram, or are they on, Pinterest, or are they on YouTube? Are they on Facebook? Facebook is weird for influence marketing, but you can still do it. So, first step is understanding your demographic, where they pick that have audiences of your demographic in whatever social channel that you're wanting to grow your business on.
Right. I was going to be before I get to that question, like, what are the expectations? Do people, and I've dealt with people that have come to us and said, they want to do this influencer marketing, and it wasn't for them. It was the wrong product, and they were expecting way too much. Have you ever run into that, where people are hearing the buzzword influencers, and then, they expect that they're going to go from nothing to a mega brand?
Oh my gosh. All the time. The biggest, or marketing speak, KPI, key performance indicators, would be people just assume that you're going to start partnering with an influencer and, they've got a gazillion of followers, and then all of a sudden you're going to be making, you're going to get a ton of sales, and that's going to be the best thing for your brand, which is not really accurate, because influence marketing is, I would honestly say that it's mislabeled in some degree. I would almost say it's influence branding. And brand awareness, and brand awareness via influencers, because a lot of the benefits that you get from working with influencers are sort of intangibles in terms of, again, user generated content and social media exposure. And if you're building a team of influencers instead of just doing one off stuff, then you can go to that team and you can say, hey, we're up for this award, and we need you to help us vote and go to your audiences to help us vote. And we've actually won awards that way, going to our influence audience. And those awards then, get us into best of lists. And then those best of lists, help convince our audience that, our audience is mommies. They research stuff for their babies. So they're going to go on Google and they're going to look up best swim diaper. And when we're ranked in 7 of those 10 best of lists, what are they going to think? Of course, obviously, we're going to be the best. And that also results in people like this distribution agency down in Denver just Googling us, or Googling swim diapers and then finding us and seeing all the social proof that we built because of influencers. So you had asked about expectations. So I would kind of divide it into prerequisites and expectations. So I'd mentioned this before, you really need to focus on your brand and branding. You need to focus on your story. You need to have highly differentiated products. You need to be willing to invest in the long term, in the long play. If you're looking at, this is like the magic pill, the silver bullet that's going to solve all your marketing woes and you're going to become a millionaire tomorrow, that's simply not true. You need to make sure that you are, again, looking at this long term. So focus on story, branding, brand, highly differentiated products. Influencers are in the business of making money by looking good. Okay? So what they want to do, the best ones, look good by helping people. So their goal is to help their audience provide great solutions or great content to help them solve their needs. So the influencers that you want to work with will not work with you if you don't have a solid brand and a brand story, something that has something that they can latch onto, because you want to work with people that love your brand and your products because they're great and they love you and they want to work with you because they feel like this is something that they want to share with their audience. You do not want to work with people that would work with literally anyone and it's just a pay-to-play game because, I mean, yeah, you can pay them money. And we've done this in the past, and it almost turned me off from influencer marketing because we paid that, you know, $750,000, $1,500 to people. And then we got placements like 13 minutes into a 17-minute video with a 30-second cut, and they don't even like pronounce our name right. You know, that's not what you want because it comes across very fake. And people don't want fake. They want real. That's one of the reasons why I love nano influencers, because it's very genuine. And then we're starting to see like even these mega influencers that are just super just normal everyday people. They're not like, you know, the beauty, you know, fashionistas. So then expectations. So I covered sort of prerequisites. Expectations is that you want it to be relationship based. So I kind of touched on that where you don't want to work with people that don't like your product, your brand, because it resonates with them. You don't want to work with people that are just in it for the money, because it comes across disingenuous. Yeah, you might make some money, you might make some sales, but in terms of a long-term investment, return on investment, equity, you just don't see that. So you need to expect that it's relationship-based. You need to expect that it's not going to be overnight, and you're going to need to expect that on an agency level, a business level, what have you, that it's going to be indirect ROI. Because quite frankly, like I have talked to, it's crazy, TikTok influencers, that their audience will not click an affiliate link. They just, for some reason, like I don't know why, but they have followers that resonate with their content, but for some reason they don't like affiliate links. So that means that they don't want the influencer to get paid. So then they'll go to like Google or Amazon or whatever, and then type it in a search. And so the brands see a bump in sales, but tracking that, you know, like definitively to a specific influencer is really hard to do, just because the way that people purchase and buy and buying behavior. So expectations, relationship-based, not overnight, indirect ROI, and some prereqs that you'll need to have going into this is that you need to focus on brand and branding, focus on your story, which is intrinsic to branding. You know, you have to have highly differentiated products. You can't just be a blue silicone spatula in a sea of red silicone spatulas, unless you're selling in a, you know, I don't know, that was about to be a very politically incorrect joke, but and you have to be willing to invest in the long term. But you get it. It's not overnight success. It's just like anything in business. You know, if you think you're going to be an overnight success, you're dreaming. Not going to happen.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. I'd like to do a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to be providing an app in 2 seconds. I have nothing to do with it, but wait to hear about it. I just want to reset the room, though, before I get to that. And by the way, if you do have or if you are using influencers, we want to hear from you. What are your results? What are your takeaways from using them? Have you got
it? Or if you're an influencer yourself.
Yes, that's also. And thanks for interrupting me. No, joking, Paul. But anyways, just wanted to reset the room. This is Ecom Weekly. Today, we're talking about how you can build up or a successful business using influencers, what they're all about. If you like what you're hearing, make sure that you click on Paul or myself and follow us. If you like the room itself, go up to the top left corner. You'll see Startup Club, and there's a greenhouse there. Make sure you click on it and follow, and you'll get other notifications of really great rooms that they have. So here's the tip. This is, Paul touched on it, you have to know your audience. So who are you marketing to? Sometimes it's really tough to figure it out. You might guess, and a lot of people do. And I've done it, and I'm completely wrong. I have a soap company. I thought it was females that were buying it. It was mostly males. So I had to change around my marketing strategy. There is an app out there, it came out this year, that anybody who wants to listen to me, I tell about this because it cuts down on 99% of research. It's called SparkToro.com. I think it's .com. But it's from Rand Fishkin. He's the guy, he's the founder of Moz. This guy knows his stuff. He's an incredibly smart guy. And anyways, in 8 minutes, he's got a training session. It's inexpensive, and you'll learn your audience. It goes through who your competitors are and who's listening. I don't know if you use that at all, Paul, but I just wanted to shoot that out there because, if anything, influence, you have to know who to go after as an influencer.
Yeah, we have. And that's actually something that I would recommend people if they're sort of pre-market or they're doing their market research and they don't have an audience to go and pull. So one example of that is that before pre-launch, right, you haven't launched your company, so you haven't started aggregating or acquiring that customer data. The other would be in the Amazon space. And you and I are pretty deep in this space, Norm. And we see oftentimes there's just people don't do a good job of building their audience because I don't know why. Maybe they think it's expensive, or maybe they don't know how, or maybe they don't know what to do once they've built an audience. So if you're in a spot where you haven't built an audience and you need to understand your demographics, and not just the demographics, but sometimes psychographics of, you know, what makes people tick. SparkToro is great. My preferred method is polling my audience and doing a customer segmentation and questionnaire, and then we reward people for going through that. And I run all of that through chat marketing. We do a lot of that through Messenger and now Instagram Direct. And we don't really have an audience that uses WhatsApp, but that's available too. And so, you know, literally talking to your customers and asking them why they bought from you, literally just one question. If you don't need to have like this 20-question questionnaire. You can ask them, why did you buy from us? And the responses that you're going to get are going to be, I would say that they would probably blow your mind because you have sort of assumptions as to why people buy from you, and you might or might not be correct. And we had this assumption going in that people were buying from us because they wanted to save money in the long run. And we were wrong. The reason why people buy from us is because they're more eco-conscious and they don't really necessarily care about the price too much. And the primary, so those are like core driving motives, but the, you know, the primary reason is that they're busy moms and they want a worry-free solution. And so that's, we discovered that talking to our audience. And if you don't talk to your audience, you're not going to find out why they buy from you and who else they're buying from and what other products they want to buy from. So if you're pre-market, you want to go to SparkToro or something similar to that. You know, if you already built an audience, then just literally ask them, email them, you know, email them and say, hey, would you mind if I just took 20 minutes to call you? And I'll, you can even give them like a $20 Amazon gift card or something. Oftentimes, if you just say, you know, we're trying to do a better job of serving our customers and we'd love if we just took some time to talk to you, you'll be surprised at how many people will just do this for free. It's pretty incredible.
You're gonna get the very angry people who had a problem or the very positive, I think, correct?
Yeah, we actually haven't had too many angry people, which is, I think we have a really high intentionality on quality and making sure that we have a good customer experience so that we don't have those customer service nightmares. But yeah, you will. And the best thing about angry people is they're going to tell you exactly what they think and they're not going to sugarcoat it. So if you genuinely care about the quality of your business, talking to angry customers is a great way to understand your failing points. And the thing is, you got to go into there, if you know, with a thick skin, not take it personally, and look at it as genuine market research for how you can become a better brand and how you can provide better products and services and a better customer experience.
Paul, are you a hockey dad, soccer dad, or baseball dad? Any of those?
we're at some. So you know, Bo is seven. My oldest is seven, and he's kind of in the phase where he's trying to figure out what he likes the best. Lael is four, so they're in gymnastics now. They've done soccer. Bo loves soccer. My wife played for 15 years. She's really good. I play hockey, and so the kids are also in skating lessons. So I'm in the busy phase of lots of things right now. So I, yeah.
What the reason why I ask that is there's one thing that coaches usually say, because they have all these hockey moms and dads that come out and their kids are the best and they don't have enough ice time or whatever it is. It's the 24-hour rule, right? If you've got that nasty, nasty, nasty email that comes back that kind of irks you the wrong way, it's always best to reach out to those people you know, in 24 hours. And that's just a tip. This is what I found, because then, you know, you've got them, they've cooled down. If you don't, you're just going to get screamed at. They're going to be very emotional. Give them 24 hours. So, and that's also, if you're using an influencer, maybe something has gone wrong. Something that's gone wrong. This happened recently, and this is another great giveaway. Who owns the product? Who owns the material, the user generated content? What do you do to make sure that you don't get sued or there's a copyright problem?
Yeah, you got to work with the influencers on that. And that is the most common mistake. Well, there's a lot of mistakes that I see people that are getting into influencer marketing. But that's a very common one. You need to have a contract. And even when you're working with, you know, like our team, you know, they're all generally nano, micro, you know, influencers. You need to have a contract. And sometimes it could be, if you don't have a contract, it can be a simple email like, hey, can we use this here? And then if they say yes, you need to ask like, okay, well, how long? You can get like, again, how long can we use this? But in our contracts, we have rights to the creative works in perpetuity, which sometimes that scares some people off. I mean, because in perpetuity means forever and ever. And some influencers don't want, you know, they don't want you to have that. So sometimes it comes down to negotiation. But again, my number one rule of thumb going into anything with influencers and business in general is just treat people with respect. You have to treat people with respect, because if you're in it just to use people for their audience, like, come on, don't be a douche. Like, you don't want to be used, so don't do that to other people. And kindness will get you a very long way. And to the extent that, you know, I've had conversations with mega influencers where they've even said that they would even oftentimes work with family-owned brands and smaller businesses for free if they really resonate with them and they feel like there's a personal connection. So coming back to that treating people with respect and the contract thing, you know, we do have in most of our contracts that they share the content with us. We own the rights to use it in perpetuity, just so that we don't risk, you know, getting sued in the future or something for some random thing. So I'll give you a good example that's a little bit off the wall that you would never think would happen. We had an influencer that we had worked with that, you know, shared her content on social of her baby. It was a public account. She shared it with us just like normal. And there was a convention that we had exhibited at it, you know, a handful of times. It was really deep in like the natural parenting space with, you know, kind of a lot of hippy dippy people, which technically I would probably be considered a hippy dippy person because I have like compost and chickens and all sorts of weird stuff. But anyway, there it had come out that somebody who was associated with this convention or this trade show had child pornography on this person's computer. And because of litigation, the attorneys for this place said, until we get this resolved, you know, don't go public. But some people found it, and in the cancel culture that we lived in, it was a shitstorm. And it was not associated with, there was nothing to do with the event. It was crazy because it had no impact on the event or the people that ran it. It was just some person that was associated with it. And so we had this lady who had shared this content with us. You know, she had signed the contract. She just went full freak out mode. Like, 100%. She is like, you're exhibiting here and we want to make sure that you're not using it. Our photos inappropriate. I'm like, they're the ones that you've shared on social. But out of respect to her, she asked us to take all the photos down, which we did. And then inadvertently, our social media manager accidentally posted another photo of her child. And that, obviously, she was angry. And it was just a miscommunication on her. And we were obviously deeply apologetic, took it down immediately. But she threatened to sue us because her father-in-law was a lawyer. And the contract protects us from that. And we reminded her, like, hey, you know, again, this was an honest mistake. We're not doing this out of ill will for you at all. But again, you did sign this contract on this date, which protects us legally from this. So, again, crazy random situation. And sometimes you will have people that have malicious intent. I don't think that she did. But you need to make sure that you're legally covered, because copyright laws, at least in America, that the copyright goes to the person who creates it. And so if you use it without their permission and they can prove it, then you could get sued and you can get in a lot of trouble.
Okay, one of the, I guess this is probably the last topic, unless anybody has a question. Last question would be about bringing around that influencer to becoming a brand ambassador. And that's where you've got a passionate person working with your brand. So how do you go about tweaking that influencer to becoming your brand ambassador? And what is a brand ambassador? What can they do to your company?
Yeah, well, again, it goes back to my rule of thumb is that you want and need to treat people with respect. And if you treat people respectfully and you bring them into your community, so it's you want to make sure that they're in community of some type. So oftentimes that just takes the form of a Facebook group, or it could be like a WhatsApp, you know, group messaging thing, or whatever your whatever works best for your people. You want them in community. And you really need a face of your brand, whether that is one single brand ambassador at first, that's kind of a community manager, or like with us, it's my wife and I are really the faces of the company. And so that's good and bad because the people that follow us and are in our brand ambassador team, they love connecting with us. Now, if we're wanting to exit, then we're going to have to figure out a way to make us not the faces of the company so that we replace ourselves. But a brand ambassador is really somebody who's a face of your brand. And they could be one person or it could be multiple people. They really are a true brand enthusiast and they really love promoting your brand within their network. It's not something that they're doing because they're getting paid. Yes, oftentimes they are getting paid something. And depending on how you structure the deal, it could be, an ongoing retainer. It could be a percentage of commission, like of sales. It could go even as deep and as far as like, you're doing a private label or white label brand for them, and then it's something along those lines. But they're content distributors. They distribute images and blog articles and videos, and they do word of mouth. And really, it's just somebody again. They live for your brand. They endorse it organically, and they're not doing it because they want to get paid. And they're people that work collaboratively with you. And so, for example, we go to our team, and if we need, we have a content ask. So say we're launching a new product and we say, hey, we need just to do a quick video. This is kind of what we're looking for. Those people, they'll put together some stuff for us because they love us. And so content, community, some way to communicate with them, bring them into community. Again, treat them with respect because nobody likes to be treated disrespectfully. I don't see it's too complex, but.
Yeah. Well, no, that's it, Paul. And we could get into that in a lot more detail, like the layout of how you do it. And maybe we can do that at another time. But for now, I just wanted to thank you for joining me today. If you like what you heard, please follow Paul or myself. And if you want to get more really great content from Startup Club, hit the greenhouse, you'll be notified on other rooms that they have for entrepreneurs. And I think that's it for me. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Rochelle. And thank you, everybody, for being part of the community.